All right, kiddos, come on. How's everybody today? Good. Good to see y'all. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right. Who can recite the Lord's Prayer? All right, Will. Well, why don't you do it in English this time? Who wants to do it?
Me.
All right, go. Say it out loud.
Father, heaven, be thy name.
Amen. Very good. Very good. Now, I want to go to a part of that prayer. That's our Lord's model prayer. He wanted for us to model our prayer after that. He said, forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Ooh. We want God to forgive us. But then in that prayer, we're supposed to forgive other people. Now, I need a couple of volunteers. All right, come on, Luke. Luke, you and little Tim, come on. All right. Okay. Y'all look here. Look here at me here. Now, y'all are real good friends, okay? So shake hands. Y'all are real good friends, okay? But then Luke hits you and does something that you don't like. Don't hit him real hard. All right. Now, it makes you angry. Let me see an angry face. Let me see an angry face. And so you go back to your house right here. Luke goes back to his house right here. And y'all are mad with each other, right? Am I getting to any adult people here? Okay? All right, so y'all are angry with each other. Well, the next day, little Tim comes walking down the street. He's still got that mad face. And he looks at Luke and what he gets even more mad. Let's see the more mad. Okay, there we go. All right. And so Luke, he goes on the other side. And little Tim walks on the other side. And they ignore each other. Ooh, did they forgive? Did Tim forgive Luke for it? Okay. So what should they have done? Who should have forgiven?
They're both. I just wanted to say
it's easier. No, answer my question.
Luke.
Who?
Luke.
Why should? Well, Luke's the one that hit him.
Yeah, but he's supposed to do it to him.
I don't think that's the way the Lord wants to do it. What did we just pray? Forgiveness. All right, let's get them right here. So what should they have done? What should they have done? Luke should have said,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. And what should you have done? You say, I forgive you.
I forgive you.
Okay. So then when they see one another on the street, what do they do when they walk by? Give them the happy, I'm happy to see you face. Turn around, I want y'all to see this. This is the happy to see you face. Okay, all right, there you go. And they don't have to avoid one another. Am I getting any adult people here yet that are getting this? Okay, but what if Luke didn't say, I'm sorry. Do you still have to forgive him? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Okay. All right. Y'all listen up. That prayer we prayed, the Lord's Prayer, it says, "And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us." That's what I want to pray for us. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that we can model your forgiveness by forgiving others when they do things against us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all can go to Kid Zone. Aren't y'all glad to know that the Mannings pray in Latin at their house? I knew they prayed in English sometime, maybe occasionally in tongues, but not Latin I didn't know. That's a new one on me. Happy New Year to all of you. It's so good to see you today. First Sunday of a brand new year, 2016. Did you think you would make it? Let me ask you, during last year, did you have any rough times? Did you have some times where you wondered where the hope was going to come from? Where the money was going to come from? Did you wonder what it would be like the first week of the new year? Do you still have some things hanging over your life right now that you really need to hear from the Lord about? Well, today, the title of today's message is, What's Your Plan? We've begun a brand new year. It's popular in our culture as we flip over the new year. Like a buddy of mine on Facebook, Pastor Buddy, you might have read Roe Porter's post. Some of you that are friends with him, he's pastor church here in town. He said, New Year's like a do-over. He said, it's like you get a mulligan in golf. And all of us duffers like the mulligan, don't we? We like to be able, and those of you who don't know anything about golf, Gary, I know, I saw the dumb look on your face, and so I was going to address it here. It's for the duffers, those that go out and don't really play very much, you get an extra shot. You if you hit one off the tee and it goes wide, you get to tee up another one, and that one doesn't count against you. You know, forgiveness is like that. Starting a new year is like that. As you turn the page, I don't know how many people I've had tell me in the month of December, I'll sure be glad when the end of December gets here. Because I'm ready to begin a new year. Now, most of those people that were saying that were not down in the dump statement or anything. They had hope about the future. They just wanted to come real quick. Now, here's a few things before we get into our scripture today that I want you to think about. As you think about your plan for the new year, do you have one? Are you in the process of developing one? I'm not talking about a list of resolutions and all, because what happens to resolutions is they're good on paper, but there are no action steps to them. Yeah, I'd like to lose 20 pounds, but there are no action steps that go in between. I'd like to do this, you know, this, this, and this, but where are the action steps? We're talking about a plan today, a plan for your year. And I'm going to give you a simple grid today for you to operate off. Something that I hope will help you and simplify it and take some of the, you know, usually, I don't know about with you, when I make those lists of resolutions, about 2 or 3 weeks into the new year, I've fallen off the wagon several times, and I've gotten very discouraged, and I say, psh, it's not worth it. Can I get a witness on that? Okay. First of all, God, whether you think and believe that you have a plan for your life, God does have a plan for your life. Think about it. In eternity past, He knew that He was going to create you. He was create you in His own image, special, just like you are. To be struck in the image of God, to be formed in His image. You know, we go back and we read the creation story, and God breathed into man, and he became a living soul. Man became something that nothing else in the creation became. He became something eternal. God does have a plan of growth for your life. He's the one who created you. He puts you in the world at this time. I know some of you probably occasionally think, you know, I wish I could have lived during that time or that time. We sit around thinking that all the time. My children sometimes say that my vocabulary belonged in another era. Daddy don't use words like that now. They use different words. But we're living today. We're living now. What is God's plan that He has for you? And you know, we can't say that we're going to be pleasing to Him unless we're joining His plan for us and not us asking God to come and join our plan. Do you see the difference? There's a big difference between those two. One is man-centered, the other is God-centered. Second thing, by way of preface, we need to realize the need for change in our lives. We need to go back to Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. Let's take a good look at our lives. Let's take inventory. Is there a need for change? Let me ask you, is there a need for change in your life? That means that we've got to be willing to take a look at our lives through God's eyes. And what is He saying? Third thing, you can't just say, well, I need to change and that's the end of it, but we need a plan for change. In the book of Habakkuk, Chapter 2, verse 2, it says, Then the Lord replied, Write down the revelation, make it plain on the tablets, so the herald may run with it. We need to record, remember, and for many of us, writing it down is how we remember it, what God has spoken to us, so we can run with it. That's why I'm going to give you some a simple four-part thing today to hang this on, so you can remember it. It'll be something you can remember. And these are the areas of my life that I'm going to address. So we need a plan that we can execute. And then finally, you can't just realize you need a plan, make a plan, but then you got to execute the plan, right? You got to do something about it. You know, like the guy, you know, telling his wife all the time, honey, I love you, you know, and he never helps her with anything. You know, you need to execute the plan of love which means it has action associated with it. Okay, ready to get started? Here's the verse. It's a very familiar verse. It's a verse you've heard so often, you're going to be amazed. But you always, and I most of the time, associate this verse with babies. It's Luke 2:52. Know the verse? Here it is. And Jesus grew in wisdom. What's the next part? And in stature and in favor with God and man. He grew four ways. The perfect Son of God, God became flesh, and here's how He grew. He grew in wisdom. He grew intellectually. We'll expand on that in just a moment. Before some of you go to seed on that word intellectually, just hang on. He grew physically, grew in stature. He grew spiritually in favor with God, and He grew emotionally. He grew in favor with man. He grew in four ways. Now, if those truths, if those things were true for you when you were a baby, why are they not true today? Do you ever stop growing? What do they call it when you stop growing? Death. You have to, when you stop growing, they put something on the other end of the dash. You know, you say we're living in the dash. You know, he lived from, in my case, 1954. Dash. Hey, it's still wide open. Told Miss Audrey, we want to be together for till Jesus comes. How long that's going to be? Comes for us one way or the other. So, let's look at him individually. So, if this is the way Jesus grew, he grew in wisdom, he grew intellectually. Let's take a close look at each one. If you're going to grow intellectually, you grow in wisdom. It's not just the amount of knowledge that you gain, but it's also how you use that knowledge. I know some brilliant people. I mean some people that have IQs off the chart. You do too. Their heads are packed with information. I forget what percentage they say Einstein used of his brain, but it was several percentage points more than the average person. But still only a small portion of the brain being used. There's the tapping on that capacity is something that we have to do. But not only do you need to know stuff, you need to know how to use it in life. There needs to be wisdom. There needs to be understanding of how things work. Each day, we have an opportunity with all the things that face us to live out our lives growing intellectually. Let me give you an example. Coming down Abercorn. Which lane do you use? When you see a blue light,
yes, sir.
Let me tell you a lesson I learned this past summer. You're tooling down 17. I'm going to move to another highway now, pick on another highway. Geechee Road, I'm coming down 17, four lanes. There's a blue light. I noticed the blue light. There's nobody else around me. There's nobody following me. There's no one coming from the other direction. One of our friendly policemen has a person pulled over there, I'm sure is probably telling them about Jesus. And Dusty zooms on by. I did look at my speed. I was going the correct speed, but I passed by in the lane near the policeman. Guess what? Play the music now. Play the Darth Vader. Yeah, that's the music I heard. Man, he pulls me over, and I honestly was thinking, what in the world? I've not done anything. What is the problem? And he's a rather large man. He's bigger than me. And he leans his head inside my car. And he says, do you know what you just did? I looked at him and I said, I ain't got a clue. He did not have a pastoral look on his face at that point. He said, you did not yield the lane to an officer of the law. I said, what does that mean? He said, there was no one coming in the other direction, was it? I said, no, sir. He said, the law states you've got to change lanes if you can. 543 dollars. Brother Dusty grew intellectually and in wisdom. Not only did I grow in the what, I got more knowledge, but I learned how to apply it. And then another person who occasionally thinks they're the Holy Spirit in my life, who often sits next to me in the car, when she found out how much it cost, every time we see a blue light, she says, change lanes. I said, there's no lane to go. We're on a path. Do you get it? Let me ask you, has God finished with your finishing school? Are the things He wants you to know? Are the things in this book He wants you to know? Does He want to teach you? And does He want to show you how to use it in your life? Show you how to live. To live with wisdom and to grow in that way. Jesus studied. You know, Scripture says to us we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. That means we got to spend some time in this book. That means we've got to spend some time in common sense and not be dumb as a brick about a lot of things in life. I probably told you this before, but I'll say it again because some of you hadn't heard me say this about my oldest son. He, several years ago at Christmas time, he was making fun of my age, and he said, face it, Dad, you'd like to be, he was 25 at the time, he said, you'd like to be 25 again? I said, no, sir, absolutely would not. He said, you're lying. I said, mm-mm, I don't want to be that dumb again. Now, I'm not saying that about him. I'm saying that about me. Because I know now what I didn't know, part of it, at 25. And I'm still learning. Do you have a teachable spirit? Or do you know it all? Till the day Jesus checks us out of here, we still need to be growing in wisdom. Wisdom. Secondly, he grew physically. We saw him grow up into manhood. Are you growing physically? Does that mean that you just you grow till you're 18, 19, 20? I think my brother stopped growing. I think he was about 6'2" or 6'3" when he graduated from high school, and then he grew about 2 or 3 more inches. He's 6'5" now. He didn't quit growing until he was 23. But does that mean at whatever age that is that you're full grown physically? Of course not. We continue to grow. This body is called the temple. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's where the Spirit of God resides. Let me ask you, are you taking care of God's temple? Where He lives? If He lives in me, are you taking care of His temple? Physically? Oh boy, it's going to get convicting right now. What you eat, what you drink, what you put in this body, exercise, all that stuff. And not just making assumptions about things. You know, boy, when I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof, let's see, in my early 20s, I think about what I ate then. I'd go to Wendy's and I could eat 2 doubles and a large order of fries and a milkshake. It'd take me 2 days to eat that now. Jesus continued to grow. God is calling on us to grow physically. And how are we doing that? Let me tell you, the older you get, the harder it is on some things. And that's one of them. I was climbing in the attic last week, and I realized that I wasn't 6'1" and 135 pounds anymore. Third thing, he grew intellectually, he grew physically, spiritually. Jesus grew. He grew in His relationship to His Father, and He's calling on us to grow in that way. And the way you grow is by practicing all the spiritual disciplines in your life. What are they? Well, the Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Scripture says to study the Word of God. Scripture says, pray without ceasing. Scripture says to apply the Word of God in your life. I mean, just a few of these things. Talks about worship. Worshiping Him privately and worshiping Him publicly. Worshiping Him together in a small group. The Scripture talks about us being connected to the body in a small group and in a large group. The way we accommodate that here in our church is we have life groups and we have this meeting on Sunday, these meetings on Sunday. Not neglecting ourselves spiritually, are you growing? Let me ask you, are you more mature spiritually January of 2016 than you were January of 2015? Have you grown? Or have you backed up? And what measure are you using? I'm not asking you if you've gotten more religious. I'm not asking you if you attend more stuff. I'm not even asking if you've read more books. The bottom line is your life different spiritually. And then he grew emotionally. So he grew in favor with men. Jesus was emotionally healthy when it came to other people. He was not an emotional pygmy. Had a balanced life. He had the full range of emotional expression. You know, early on in my Christian life, when I was a kid, there were people around, some people, I had some great people around me. And thank God I had some very balanced people that were around me at that time that could show me that. But there were a few that liked to think of themselves as super spirituals. And in most cases, they were legalists who had the rule book around ready to beat you over the head with it. And they went around with a scowl on their face. The only time they cracked a smile was when somebody was falling. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the fun side of heaven. Because when I think about my relationship with Jesus, it doesn't put a frown on my face. It puts a smile on my face. In fact, there are times I've adopted it as my mission to put a tripwire out there for every legalist that comes along. I want to see them fall in their own pool and be judged by their own standard. So they get out of the way and stop being a stumbling block for the body of Christ. God has a full range of emotion for us to express this godly emotion. There are times we really need to be sad about things. It really needs to make us sad to look at things that are happening in the world and weep over them. I wept as I looked at those pictures of ISIS going from town to town and crucifying those children and those women and men that were there, that they circled in the town square and crucified them and put them to death. That ought to make you weep. And if you're not weeping over that, then you must be an emotional pygmy. God's called us to more than that. He's called us to feel through Him. Now, it ought to be things that make you angry. The Bible never says don't be angry. Did you know that? It doesn't say don't be angry. It says be angry and sin not. Don't let your anger lead to sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath so that it's boiling in you. Anger is a great motivation. You need to let it motivate you. Motivate you to drive you to Him. And say, God, I don't know what to do about this. I was talking to a friend of mine who lives in another part of the state this past week. And we're talking about, she was telling me about the abuse that is happening of young girls, particularly young girls, some young men in the state that are being abducted, and the slave trade that is going on that happens right here out of this port. You knew that, right? I mean, even the secular media acknowledges that right out of our port here, young men, young women are being taken, and very often they're the typical the MO is they've left home, they're runaway, no one's keeping track of them, they become a non-person out there, and so they're an easy mark, and no one's going to hunt them down. There's not the love is not there to hunt them down and find them. And she just got overwrought on the phone, and she said, I don't understand. And I asked God, why? Key point. She asked God. Even when the things that are so degrading that you can't wrap your mind around, those things, we've got to take them to God. I don't understand. Some of you saw my New Year's post. I put on Facebook, So I don't have all the answers to the why questions. God has those answers. But I do know the who. The one that I have to take it to. If I'm going to grow emotionally in favor with man, that does not mean that I'm going out there trying to get every government official to like me. No. It means I'm doing the right thing toward man. And sometimes that puts me in opposition with my government. Sometimes it puts me in direct opposition with my government. But the thing is, I can't just retreat and say, I'm not going to be involved in that. Because you don't grow when you retreat. The way you grow is to let God involve you. Where you're faced with it. He does promise us in His Word that He will not put more on us than we can stand. So, you got it? Four ways God wants you to grow. In wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and man. He wants you to grow intellectually. Are you letting Him expand your wisdom? School doesn't let out until Jesus comes for you. If you kiddos are just trying to get through school right now, be it high school, middle school, college, I remember I used to think, man, if I can just get through school, I'm going to have it made. Anybody? Anybody here thought that? Huh? I get that degree. Man, it's going to be smooth sailing. Man, my life was never so simple as it was when I was in school. What did I have to think about? I got up, I ate. I went to school, I did my homework, and I played a lot. And I got up the next day and did the same thing. God wants you to grow physically. What's He telling you about your temple, this temple? Well, I had the harsh reality of having my doctor who loves Jesus and loves me, but spoke the truth in love to me. And he gave me some advice that was godly advice. He said, if you want to live longer, here is what you need to do. And he gave me a very practical list. And he went on from that and he said, and here's how you can do it. I'll say no more. God wants you to grow physically. Write it down. God wants you to grow spiritually. You need to build your relationship with Him. This morning, I spent about 45 minutes talking about how to listen to God. Do you know how to listen to His voice? Most of you missed that message. I encourage you to go online. You'll be able to get it late this afternoon. It'll be posted there, the 9:30 service, about listening to God. I hope that you'll say, so you can grow spiritually. Because let me tell you what the times are demanding. The times are demanding that we stop fooling around and start applying what we really believe. And finally, he wants you to grow emotionally. How is it with your relationships with the people in your life? You say, well, I'm a mature Christian. Yet you seem to always be in conflict with one person or another in your life. There's always that conflict. Now, I know we all have conflict. But after a while, some of this we've got to get back and take a look at the common element to all the conflict. Don't we? Sometimes it's looking in the mirror and saying, God, what are you speaking to me? Is there someone you need to forgive? Are there people that you are walking by on the other side of the mall to avoid? Are there some family members that you sit on the other side of the living room so you won't have to talk to? Are there some work associates that you dodge like the plague? One example of that, a guy, I was his pastor years ago, I see him in Kroger. He was vaccinated with a phonograph needle. He has the gift of gab. He could talk the ears off a brass monkey. And when I see him coming, I think, I'm down at Kroger. We've got people waiting on us at the house. And I've come on a 10-minute mission to Kroger to get something. I don't have 45 minutes for him to wax eloquent in Kroger. He loves Jesus, and I want to hear about Jesus, but not that much today. I saw him Christmas Eve, just like God to put him there. You know, I'm wanting to celebrate the birth of my Savior, and I got to face this guy. And so I'm running into Kroger, you know, and he just about tackles me. And he said, I need to tell you this. And instead of just, you know, dancing around the bush with him like I usually do, I said, look, I really would like to talk to you, but right now, I got people waiting on me and I got to go. And I smiled and he said, Merry Christmas. And I left. I said, why didn't I do that 10 years ago? You got it? There's sometimes in relationships, and this isn't a sermon, you know, just about relationship, but growing emotion, sometimes you just got to tell the truth. Speak it in love with people and go on. What's he speaking to you today about your relationships, about your relationship with God, about this temple, and about how he wants you to grow? What's he saying? Four areas you'll be able to remember it. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for speaking to us today. I pray now, Lord, you will send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let us begin this new year by growing in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and man. Let us do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Dane will be available. I'll be available after service if you want to talk to us. The baskets are here and in the back. We'd sure like to get those cards from you. In fact, you can bring them right now if you like, if you have an offering to bring or your cards. Yeah, come on, Tammy. You can bring it on now. All right. We'll get those from you. All right, final prayer. Send you out. Where are you, Dane? Is Dane around here? Dane's right there. Dane's here. See the maroon shirt there? See, if you want to pray about something in your life, we're available. Okay? Now, Lord, send us out. Send us out today in the power of the Holy Spirit with the love of Jesus the Son and under the authority of you, our Father. Amen. I love you.